Welcome to the North Point Community Church Podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoyed this inspiring word from our pastor.
Matthew chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there this morning. If you don't, you can follow along on the big Bible in the sky, Matthew chapter 5. We'll start reading in verse 14. And if you have your electronic Bible and you have the opportunity to change versions, I'll be reading from the NIV. Matthew 5, verse 14, it says, Jesus speaking here, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about all in, and we started our series talking about we're all in the name of Jesus, and that when we get all in the name of Jesus, we can do all things through that great name. We said we're all in the kingdom. We're not a part of this social structure. We live by the rules, and we live by the blessing of the kingdom of God. We're all into that kingdom. We talked about being all in the box, and the widow brought, and she gave all that she had, and we said we're going to give all that we have to prayer. We're going to give all that we have to serving, and we're going to give all that we can give in giving as well. We talked about being all in the overflow, that Jesus called us to the abundant life. He didn't call us to the average life. He came so that we could overflow with peace and overflow with purpose and overflow with power. We live all in the overflow. And then last week we talked about being all in the presence of God. But today we're going to be talking about all in the city. All in the city. You know, Jesus, as you read through the Gospels, Jesus was all in the cities of his time. He could have stayed out on the countryside. He could have got his few people together, and he could have spent his time in just prayer and meditation and teaching a small group of disciples. But instead, Jesus found himself in cities. We read about Jesus entering Jerusalem and Jesus passing through Jericho. And we read about Jesus visiting Bethany and Capernaum, because what was Jesus doing? He was modeling for you and for me what it looked like to be the light of the world. Because before we could become the light of the world, Jesus came as the light of the world. This is what Jesus said in John 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more, and he said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." You see, Jesus was showing us that if you were going to be the light of the world, then you have to understand that I am the light of the world. But whenever the light shines into your life, now you have the light that leads to life. That leads to what life? A life that's all in the presence. A life that's all in the kingdom. A life that's all in the name. And whenever the light of Christ shines in your heart, it let you become the light to everybody around you.
Jesus is the light of the world. We all know how important light really is, don't we? I remember one time I was actually visiting my brother Lucas in Pineville at Louisiana College, and I drove down there to see him, and it was dark, and if you know me, I'm a horrible driver. I mean, I'm terrible. I'm one of the worst drivers you will ever meet. It's really true, but he taught me how to drive, so what does that say about him? So Anyway, but I was driving, and Pineville's a little different than Shreveport-Bossier. It's kind of a small town, and it's just dark, okay? There aren't, like, a lot of street lights, and so I was driving down this little road, and I could tell that there was, like, a ditch on one side, like, right past the yellow line, and, like, a ditch on the other side, and I was just kind of scared, but I knew I would be able to see headlights if they were coming at me, and so I just got in the middle of the road, because that just seemed like a rational choice at the time. You know, I had not seen a living soul in like 10 minutes, so I was like, this will be great. And you know what happened, just right in my rear view. Well, because I was in the middle of the road, and then I pulled off, and then I had high heels on because I had been coming from a business meeting, and I got out of my car into the gravel and went like this. You know what they thought. So they shone this huge, like, light in my face. And I said, sir, that light's very bright. He goes, yes, ma'am, just answer my questions. And I was like, this is not going well. And so he said, what are you doing? Have you been drinking? Have you been taking things? And I just did the only thing I knew how to do as a good little preacher girl. I started talking as fast as I could and using as big of words as I, sir, actually what I've been doing is I've been bringing, and I talked so fast for 2 minutes that he literally started backing up and going, ma'am, just please get in your car and go. Just go. just stop. So, but lights are important, right? When you get into a dark place, sometimes you can make bad decisions even though you didn't mean to, even though you really didn't intend to end up on this road. And so many times I talk to people who are in very dark places and they can't figure out how they got there. They're embarrassed. They're in a difficulty. And they go, I didn't mean to make this turn. I didn't mean to end up there. But that's why it's important that Jesus is the light of the world. His light shows us where we are, but then his light goes with us to take us to a new place, a safe place, a place where we can be effective and powerful. But like Jesus always is, he's always doing more than what we see. Sometimes we think about coming to Jesus just to get out of our own problems and out of our own issues. But Jesus wants to take you and change you from somebody wandering in the dark to a bearer of light.
Come on, so good.
See, Jesus is the light of the world, but we are also the light of the world. That's what the scripture says. It says you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Why are we the light of the world? Because we are working with Jesus. We carry the light that we have been given. Christ has lit the lamp of our life. And then it says that the lamp is taken and put on a candlestick so that it can light the whole room. Isn't that what it says? And so it can light the whole room. Well, in Revelations, we see that God talks about the church as candlesticks. And so we believe that when a person's light is planted in a local church, then they are given a platform to shine, both individually and collectively, into the dark world. We were not meant to do Christianity alone. We were meant to do it together. Planted together. We say it often. We believe everyone needs to be planted inside of a local church, but not everyone needs to be planted inside of our local church.
That's right. That's right.
But you need to find your community. You need to find your people, your plan, your purpose, your way, and get planted there in that community. When we go off on our own, we miss the blessings of being planted, of being part of a community, of doing life together. You know, serving starts at home, doesn't it? I mean, that's what I always tell my kids. You know, serving starts at home. The way that you treat mom and dad is going to affect the way you treat your friends. It's going to affect the way that you treat your spouse. It's going to affect everything. And I believe that that's true in the Christian life, too. And this is our home. Church is our home. So serving starts here. And you may say, well, why are you so big on serving? Because somebody set a table for you at one point when you walked into a church, when you were down and you were having a hard time and your heart was empty. Somebody had set a table for you where the Holy Spirit gave you exactly what you needed. And once that happens, it becomes our turn to stand up and to set the table for others. You know, we see in the book of Acts that before the believers scattered, the believers were gathered into a community. Why? Because the Bible says that the way that we love each other is going to tell everybody that we're his disciples. Well, guess what? You can't love other Christians if you don't live in life with them, if you aren't in community with them. So it's so important that we understand that we are the light of the world, just like Jesus is the light because he lives in us.
And if we are going to be the light of the world, then we have to let our light shine. We have to let our light shine into the darkness. We cannot hide in privacy. We cannot sit in obscurity. But instead, we must be people that give what we have received. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. He said, go and announce. Everybody say announce. That means you got to do something. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons. Then what does he say at the end? Give as freely as you have received. If you have received the light, then you have to give the light. If you have received a blessing, you've got to give the blessing. You have to give as freely as you have received. Jesus never intended for us to hide out and just hold on to his return. Jesus never intended for us to get stuck sitting behind closed doors and within four walls. Jesus never intended for us to get so bored that we would spend more time judging other people's light than we would be shining our own lights in the world. You see, because you have received, it is time for you to give what you have received. Because the light has shined in your heart, now it is time for us to be what Jesus said that we could be. And you say, you know what? I don't have everything together and I don't have it all figured out. Do you know that I still don't have electricity figured out? But I let it shine in my house every day. I don't know how it works. I just know that there's a switch, and whenever I flip it, it's supposed to come on. And when it doesn't, I call destiny. That's all I know. I don't know how it works, but you know what? Although I don't know all the intricacies of it all, I still use it. And it's the same way with being the light. You don't have to have it all figured out, but you can shine what you got. You don't have to know all the answers from Genesis all the way to Revelation, but you can shine what you got. If Jesus came and he picked you up, shine what you have. If Jesus healed your heart, shine what you have. If he forgave your sin, shine what you have. If he's restored something in your life, shine what you have. What you have been given, why don't you freely give that to those around you?
So how do we shine? We shine by doing good deeds. That's what the Bible says. We shine by doing good deeds. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, we are the evidence of God's power here on the earth when we do good works, when we touch the lives of others in concrete ways. And Jesus was all about touching people's lives in concrete ways. Look, Matthew 25, 35 through 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." If you are wondering what revival looks like, it looks like us getting out of our comfort zone and meeting the needs of our community that we can see. That's what it looks like. It looks like us saying, you know what? I was created to do good deeds. I'm going to find the good deed that I was supposed to do today, and I'm going to do it with all of my heart and soul because I am determined to let my light shine. Letting your light shine is not Facebook rants.
Come on.
I know zero people who have looked at a mean Facebook rant and been converted. Zero. I have heard a lot of conversion stories. None of them begin with, "Well, I had this friend on Facebook." It just doesn't.
No, that's right.
But I have seen people's lives change by seeing good works happen in their community. I have. It's amazing what happens when we just decide to get out of our comfort zone and reach across and do a good thing for somebody who maybe doesn't connect with us.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't agree with them. The Bible doesn't say in here, for somebody was hungry who was really deserving, and they had a good backstory, and I completely checked it out, and everything was perfect, and I gave them something to eat.
Wow.
Seriously, my grandmother is a trip. If y'all know my dad's mom, she is a trip. She is crazy. She started a high school or an elementary Christian school with no money. So that tells you how crazy she is. She's nuts. But she would do this thing where she always had cash in her purse. And sometimes she would just pull over on the side of the road if she saw somebody walking or whatever. And she'd say, get the cash. She just handed out the window, and she had this one friend who was that friend, you know what I'm talking about? And, you know, the one that, like, God put in your heart so that you would learn patience. And so this friend would always go, "Francis, why do you do that? You don't even know what they're using that for." And I remember one day she just got tired of it, and she looked right in their eye and said, "I didn't give it to them because of them. I gave it to them because God told me to, and I'm going to keep giving until he tells me to stop." Now look, there's better ways to give. I get it. Give to the Hub. Give to the Shreveport Rescue Mission. But give. Do good works. Don't stop doing good works. And do good works that can be seen. Mm-hmm. You say, "Wait, I thought we weren't supposed to do things that were seen." Well, the Bible talks about not praying in the open and making a big show of it, but then it tells us to do good works that can be seen. And I think it's because of this. It's because good works that can be seen prove to people that your Christianity isn't just words. When you do good works that can be seen, it proves that you aren't just a label-wearing Christian, but you are a Christian who is bought in hook, line, and sinker and is seeking with all of your heart to go all in the city. Because the truth is that the fruit of the Spirit will inevitably lead to good works.
The Bible says in James chapter 2, "So you see, faith by itself isn't enough." Say, "It's not enough." "Unless it produces good deeds." Say, "Good deeds."
"Good deeds."
"It's dead and useless." Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. I got a definition for faith, and you might want to jot this down. I've had this definition since I was a youth pastor, and I've just kind of kept it with me. And this is how I define faith. Faith is a deep belief that leads to an action, results in obedience, and must be constantly cultivated in your life. Faith is a deep belief. That's where it starts. That's where faith starts. It starts as a deep belief. But it doesn't end as a deep belief. It leads to an action. it leads to you saying, yes, I believe. I will lay my life down. Yes, I receive that. Now I will begin to put some things into place in my life. It results in obedience. That's what faith does. Real faith will result in obedience. And real faith has to be constantly cultivated in your life. That means you have to constantly work at it. You have to constantly practice. It is always growing. It is always multiplying. It must be cultivated in your life. You know, part of that definition, a deep belief, we get that leads to an action. That's kind of what we're talking about. But results in obedience. You know that part of your light shining into the world is found in obedience? Part of the glory of the gospel is found in obedience? The brightness of your life is found in obedience? When I allow the Holy Spirit, as Destiny just said, to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians in my life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. When I allow the Holy Spirit to produce those things in me, my obedience will be a light into the world. Do you understand that whenever you have patience with difficult people, that shines bright into the world? Because it's not normal. Whenever you are kind to mean people, that's not normal. That means you are shining a light into the world. And people go, how can you be so nice to that person? How can you be so understanding? How can you give that person another chance? You see, whenever you're just faithful to what you said, you are faithful to your word. What is that? That is a light shining into a dark world because people aren't faithful to what they say. People aren't faithful to their commitment. So if you want to shine a light into the world, part of that is found in obedience. If you want to shine your light into the world, have the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. Shut your mouth when you want to say something. Smile when you want to curse, okay? Whenever you have self-control, it shines. It's a bright light into the world. And people say, wow, how can you be so kind? How can you be so faithful? How can you have so much joy? How do you still have peace? Why are you so patient with that person? I don't understand why. Because the light has shined in me, and he gave me joy, and he gave me peace, and he's been patient with me, and he's been faithful to me, and he's had self-control with me. And so I've got to shine what he shined in me, and I've got to shine it through my life, and the light of obedience will speak to those people around you.
So how do we shine our light? We shine our light by doing good deeds. Why do we shine our light? So that others will glorify our Father in heaven, to bring glory to God, our Father in heaven. See, we do good works that people can see, not to bring attention to ourselves, but to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God, Revelation 15:4 says, "Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." You know, I think that there is something so beautiful about sculpture. Anybody like sculptures? No? Okay, cool. Five of you who said you do, I think I'd like to form a small group now. Anyway, I love sculptures. And there's a famous sculptor who said, when they were asking him about sculpting, he said, "My job is to release from the stone what is already there." And, you know, I think that sometimes the truth about good works is that we are not making stuff up. We are revealing the good works of God in the earth. That there are these good works waiting to be revealed. There are these people who are waiting to be filled. There are communities that are waiting to be transformed. And there is a good work of God that has been spoken into that community. And we get the choice to line up with what God already has proclaimed and to see his good works revealed in the earth, so that people will glorify him. In other words, we teach by example more than through words alone. Our actions will do more to convince people of Christianity than just what we say. See, it's not enough for us just to come and to praise and to give glory to God. That is good, and it's important. It is important that we not just do that on Sundays, but that becomes part of our routine, of our life, that we bring worship into our home. But it's not enough for us just to glorify God with our words, but we have to cause others to glorify Him through doing good works. Because people will glorify Him in two ways when they see your good works. One, they will glorify Him by their own words. Man, this is amazing. God's church is alive in the world. This is amazing. Look at what God's done in your life. This is amazing. But the other way, and I think the way that we sometimes neglect, is that they will glorify God by imitating your good works. See, we should not be imitators of the world, but there is nothing that says that the world should not want to imitate us. That we should not do so many good works, that we should not do so many great things, that they try their best to replicate our efforts in a secular way. And we shouldn't go, oh man, that's a horrible thing. We should be overjoyed because we should see it as God being glorified in the earth. 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11 says this. It says, God has given each of you a gift. God has given each of you a gift. I just think that's awesome. From His great variety of spiritual gifts. That means that there's different gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. You know, anytime I'm doing something, I want it to bring glory to God. We talk a lot about the heritage that we have here and how we believe that everything is supposed to be worship. We believe that when you go into the trial court and you do a good job, that that is your worship. We believe that when the Wilkinsons go and they do an H&M and they do all of these amazing things with the electrical thingy, you know, that that's their worship. We believe that when you're coaching on the football field, that that's your worship. We believe that when you're in sales, that that is your worship. Why do we believe that? Because you've been given a gift to do what you do. Yeah. And when you do it well, you bring glory to God.
And in the book of Acts, we see as the early church begins to put this principle into play. And in Acts chapter 8, we're about to look at, the church has come under persecution. And because of that persecution, they have scattered. Acts chapter 8, verse 4, it says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and they saw the signs he performed, they paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks and impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy. Say great joy. Great joy. So there was great joy in that city. You see, although we might not be being persecuted right now, we still scatter every Monday. We scatter to different businesses. We scatter to different areas around this city. We are scattered on Monday. And I can tell you that we can take with us the same power that the apostles took with them. We can take the same power that the early church took with them. When they scattered to all the different cities and they scattered all around the world, they took the power of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They took with them the peace of God. They took with them the joy of the Lord. They took with them the strength of God. They took that with them. And as we scatter every Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, as we scatter around this city, we can take the same power with us. Because here's what I can tell you. There are similarities between the cities they went to and our city today. There's similarities. Because their city had problems, and guess what? Our city has problems. Our city has a problem of the soul, because so many people are walking around with no knowledge of the Savior. They're walking around with no hope in their heart. They're walking around feeling stuck and feeling burdened, and they don't know the one who can pull them out of the pit of despair, and they're walking around with a problem in their soul. There are people today that are walking around with problems in their spirit. They're dealing with the spirit of anger and the spirit of lust. There are spiritual problems, and we have an answer for that problem. There are people that have problems in their bodies today. They are sick, or maybe their heart has been broken. They find themselves after an accident or dealing with poverty. We have problems in this city, but we have the hope for every problem, because Jesus said, I came in to be the light of the world. And if he's the light of the entire world, that means he's the light of every problem. He's the light of every dysfunction. He's the light in every disappointment. He's the light for every depression. He's the light for every issue. He's the light for every lack. He is the light for the entire world. And we have that hope living on the inside of us. So whenever we scatter, let's don't scatter with our head down. Let's don't scatter in silence. Whenever we scatter tomorrow and on Tuesday, let's scatter with authority and let's scatter with power, and let's don't be intimidated by the problems, because Jesus isn't intimidated by the problems.
They had problems in their cities, and we have problems in our cities. But God's heart was in their cities, and God's heart is in our city. See, we know that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to redemption. See, God always cared about and even sent blessing and judgment to cities. If you look in the book of Jonah, it's all about a city, the city of Nineveh, and how God's heart went after Nineveh, and how he sent Jonah so that he would be able to connect with Nineveh. God's heart is in the cities, and people are in the cities. You know, today more than ever before, people are concentrated in the cities. Now, do we love the rural areas? Yes. We're a part of the Rural Renewal Initiative. We want to help, you know, rural churches be revitalized. Yes, but that's not where all the people are. The people are concentrated in the cities, and especially in this time where we feel such an urgency to share the gospel around the world, we must be wise and to concentrate our effort in the cities. Because if God's heart is people, and people are mostly in the cities, then God's heart is in the city. Not only that, but our mission is in the city. I don't think I hear it quite as much, but people will say, I just need to take some time and find myself. And I'm like, that's not going to be a good plan. Because when you find yourself, you're not going to know what to do with yourself, because yourself is messed up. Yourself has issues. Yourself is not that pretty. Don't go find yourself. Go find the mission that God wanted you to have from the beginning of time.
So good.
Do you know what finding your mission is? It's taking the next need and owning it.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's it.
It's just taking the next need and owning it. Saying, okay, this one's mine. Okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll comfort this mom. Okay, I'll go after this. I will do it. I will serve. I will be a part of doing good deeds in the city. See, Philip went in the Bible, in the story we're reading. He was scattered by persecution. But what I love is it doesn't say he ran to a city where he could be safe. And then he kind of figured out what his mission was. He just assumed that the scattering, that the difficulty, that the problem, that the challenge was taking him to his next mission, was taking him to his next place. You know, this week I was reading in the book of Exodus, and there's this time where the children of Israel are trapped between the Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, and God erects this pillar of fire to protect them, but then he opens the Red Sea in front of them, and the same wind that opens the Red Sea takes away the protection behind them. And so many times I think that we look so hard at what's been taken away, the protection that's been taken away, the safety that's been taken away, the comfort that's been taken away, that we miss out on the Red Sea in front of us that is supposed to take us to our mission. Your mission is in the city. But this is what I love, is that just like there was great joy in that city when Philip went all in, when he said, you know what, there's a problem, but I have the answer. When he said, God's heart's there, so my heart's there. When he said, my mission's there, so I'm not leaving until it's accomplished. When he went all in, the Bible says, and then there was great joy in the city. When we choose to go all into our cities, whatever city it may be, wherever you are taken in life, there will be great joy in the city. And I want to see great joy. I want to see great joy in all of the places that we go. I want to see great joy in Bossier and in Spring Hill and in Minot and in every place that we go. But it only happens when we choose to go all in.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.